Welcome to our class in Chassidus. We're going to be learning a beautiful Chassidic discourse in the Rebbe. The name of the Chassidic discourse is called Kisisa. The Rebbe said, this Chassidic discourse on Shabbos Parsha Sisa, that year was the 15th day of the month of Adar, which is also Shushan Purim, in the year Tavshin Lamed Aleid, 52 years ago. So again, the Chassidic discourse is based on the opening verse where it says, Kisisa Ashroish B'nei Yisrael, which the literal translation means when you elevate the head of the Jewish people, but it's referring to counting the Jewish people. And the verse continues on to say, the counting will bring Lechaper al Nafshei Seisechem. They'll bring an atonement on their souls. The verse says, we know the questions that are asked. And the question is, why does it say Kisisa, specifically, which is an expression of elevating? And like the Talmud says, Moshe Rabbeinu tells to Hashem, Hashem, how are we going to elevate the souls of the Jewish people? So it uses the expression of Kisisa. But the question is, there's a lot of different languages and words that speak about counting. And why does he use specifically Kisisa, which also means to elevate? Also, in the book of the counting, so it says also the Su'as Reish, elevate the head of a Das B'nai Yisrael, of a community of the Jewish people. And over there again, it uses the term Su, which is what? To elevate. Also, we have to understand that it says Kisisa's Reish, you elevate the head. The fact is, when you come to counting and you want to know a total, it's not only associated with the head, it has to do with the whole human being that's being counted. So it should have said, Kisisas B'nai Yisrael, when you count the Jewish people. And especially, that we say Kisisas about elevating, so you can't say, in reference specifically to the head and the intellect, which, you know, the head and the intellect is the king of the human being and the most elitist part of the human being. So seemingly, if you want to elevate, you should elevate the lower part of the human being. And why does it say that you're elevating specifically by the head? And the same thing also in the Chumash of Kudim, where it also says, U'es Roish, elevating the head. Jefferson will understand this with an introduction, what it says in the Megillah. Ish Yehudi Hoya, B'Shushan Abira. There was a Jew that was in Shushan Abira, and his name was Mordechai, Ben Yair, the son of Yair, the son of Shimi, and the son of Kish. That's the way the Megillah describes it. The Talmud says that all these names, even though technically it's the ancestors, it's referring to this Jew himself. What does that mean, Ben Yair? That he was able to come from the word of light. He was able to brighten the eyes of the Jewish people. What? In prayer. Ben Shimi means that he listened to their prayers. Ben Kish means that he was able to bang on the gates of compassion, and it opened up for him. So what do we see? That the intent of the verse is that we're talking about Mordechai. What was his power in reference to prayer? A, he was able to open up their eyes to prayer. He listened to their prayer, and he was able to pierce the doors in heaven, all associated with prayer. Jeff says, one second, we have to understand, we all know the real quality of Mordechai was about learning Torah. Because he was the head of the Sanhedrin, and he was from the Anshei Knesset HaGdoila, and here we're saying it's all associated with prayer, but we know his real quality was Torah study. Not only that, this that we say, Ben Yori, which means that he opened up their eyes. So what is opening the eyes on a spiritual level? It's referring to Chachma Bin Adas, Chabad. And as what does that mean, Ben Yair, that he shined the light? Which sphere is shining the light connected? It's connected to the sphere of Chachma, the flash of a light, up to the point that we say in reference to Chachma that a Chachma is like a light without a vessel. Ben Shimi is to hear, that's comprehension, which is associated with the sphere of Bina. And Ben Kish, they were able to pounce on the gates of compassion, which is the middle strand, which is Das, which is all connected to the idea of intellect and Torah. So why does he speak over here specifically about prayer, which is the work of the heart? And like it says, La'avdei, to serve Hashem b'chol levavchem, with your whole heart and with your whole soul. And what is considered real work of the heart? That's prayer. So we see it's like two different strands. On one hand, we're saying it's all about prayer, but we know it's all about intellect. And the same thing also it says in the beginning of the verse, Ish Yehudi. So what is he called? He's called Ish Yehudi. What is Yehudi? Yehudi is also connected to prayer. Why? Because what does Yehudi mean? Hoidoya, acceptance. And like the Talmud says, that Mordechai came from the tribe of Benjamin. And why was he called Yehudi? Because he basically rejected any level of idolatry. Because we know whoever rejects idolatry is called a Jew. And since he basically rejected idolatry, and because of that he's accepting the whole Torah, and that's connected more to what? That's more connected to the idea of prayer. What does acknowledgement mean? Hoidoya, that you totally accept and you totally nullify yourself to Hashem, and that applies more in the world of prayer, like you're a servant standing in front of your master, like it says in the code of the Jewish law. And the same thing also in the code of the Jewish law of the Alter Rebbe. However, when it comes to learning Torah, no, that you can't, it's not about just being a servant. That you have to take a position. Like it says in reference to a king. Who are the kings? The rabbis. So in other words, acceptance Yehudi is connected to prayer. And which is the opposite of Torah study. And especially like it's explained in the Marsha, that when Yehuda acknowledged he was merited that he should be called on the name of Hashem. It has the letters of Hashem in there. And because acceptance is connected to Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. So the Rebbe says to understand all this, we have to give an introduction of the difference between a blessing and acceptance. Bracha, which is a blessing, and Hidoya, which is acceptance. Because each one has something the other one doesn't have. What's a blessing? So it comes from the expression, Hamavrich HaSagefen, which basically means you're going ahead and you're creating a channel. What is a blessing? You're drawing down from something higher. You make a blessing. There's a beautiful idea in heaven. And when you make the blessing, you draw down. And it comes down to you in an eternal way. And not only in an eternal way, but in a revealed way. And it becomes one with you. Like the author explains, that when a person learns Torah, what happens is what gets unified is the intellectual idea with the person that's comprehending it in a very, very powerful way. And the same thing also with the sphere of Das. When a person meditates on things, you have to meditate. So it says your mind gets totally connected and you become one with it and literally becomes one. However, when it comes to acknowledgement, then you're totally nullifying yourself to something which is higher. So when Rebbe explaining the difference between a blessing you're drawing down, there's you, and you're drawing down, you become one with it. And when it comes to Hidayah, there's no me. I totally accept. It's all about the thing that you're accepting. And Rebbe says, this is the idea, the difference between blessing and acceptance. And on a deeper level, blessing and acceptance is connected to the two names of God, the name of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei and the name of Elohim. Why? Because the name Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, which stands for Hoya, Hoive, V'yeh, and it's all one, past, present, and future is all one. What does it mean if it's past and it's present and future? How can it all be one? That's the past, that's the future, the present. Because you connect in a place which is higher than time. And because you're connecting to a place which is higher than time, you can create unity with the past, present, and the future. And that's the whole idea of acceptance. It's all one. Like I'll explain more at length soon. However, when it comes to Elohim, Elohim is plural. Multiple godly levels. Which means it's multiplicity and it's division. And that's the idea of blessing. Like we'll explain soon. So Rebbe is saying we have blessing and we have acceptance. Blessing is more connected to the name Elohim. And acceptance is connected more to the name of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And this is also the difference between, I'll say it in Hebrew and I'll translate, Soyvev Kalalmim, the light that hovers over the world, and Mamale Kalalmim, the light that gets internalized in the world. Why? Because the light that hovers over the world, that's higher than the worlds. In other words, that the worlds can't go ahead and dilute it, and can't conceal it. Up to the highest level of Soyvev, where it hovers over. However, Mamali Kalam means it gets involved in the world, means it comes into the world, every world according to its level, on a name of God level. What is that referring to when it comes into the world? It's the name Elohim. And that's why it says plural, not Kael, because Elohim plural, because the way all the worlds are divided up. Because the world is, comes from the level of concealment. And we also know Lakim has the same numerical value as nature. Like the nature gets sunk into the world. It comes into the world. Now on this level of Shem Elokim, so what does it say? Su'u morar meinechem, pick up your eyes and see, uru, and see mi bara el, who created this world. What does that mean? That you meditate on the realization that nothing is made by itself. Someone's going ahead and creating the world. And you meditate on the idea of divine providence. And like it's explained, Elsa Derber says all these details at length. And when a person comprehends, and you come to the level of seeing with your intellect, and we see, you'll see, ru'u, you'll see who created it, and you won't even need faith, because you'll see it. Faith is when you don't understand, so you need faith. But when you're able to meditate and see it, you don't need faith. And that's why it says, Shema Yisrael, hear O Israel, Havaya, which is Yudke Vavke, Elokeinu, which is the other name of Hashem, Havaya Echad, it's all one. What does that mean? When a person meditates, the Havaya, that Yudke Vavke, the infinite part of Hashem, is Elokeinu, is our God, which, what does that mean? That's the meditation in the blessings of Shema, and especially in Shema itself. So you come to the realization that Hashem Echad, that the Yudke Vavke, it's all one. And how is that? Because you draw in the creator of the world into the Ches, which is the seven heavens and the earth, and then the four, which is the four sides. So the meditation for Shema Yisrael Shem Echad is when you realize that the infinite part is part of this world, then Hashem, then you see godliness in everything. So on what level does that apply? That applies to godliness where it's connected to the world. What name of God is the one that's connected to the world? That's the name of Elokim. He's connected to the world. So that's Elokim. However, when you're dealing with Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's above the world. It has no connection to the world. And that's why the name Yud Kei Vav Kei is called the sun. Like it says, Ki Shemesh Umogein Hashem Elokim. So you have the sun, which is connected to Yud Kei Vav Kei. You have the shield, which is the concealment that is connected to Elokim, Hashem Elokim. And just like you cannot benefit from the sun without the shield that's around it, the same thing also when it comes to Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is basically on the spiritual and the level of the sun, without the protection of Hashem Elokim, the world couldn't exist. And you wouldn't be able to serve Hashem. You wouldn't have to learn Torah and do mitzvahs the way we do it now. And that's why the Yud Kei Vav Kei is the expression of Hoya, Hoyve Veyia, past, present, and future, all one. And those, even though you're going to say, one second, it has a connection, the past, present, and future, and time, which is limited. But we're saying, no. Yud Kei Vav Kei is higher than time, which is basically past, present, future, all in one, all in one. And like the Altar explains at length in Tanya and Shari Emunah, and the same thing also, it's higher than space. Why? Because as we know that in the temple, you had the ark, and you measured from the wall to the ark, and then the space of, obviously the ark took up space, and you measured from the end of the ark to the wall is the same measurement that went from wall to wall. So you see, it didn't take up any space, even though it measured at 2.5 amos in its length and its width. Because obviously it's above space. So you see that Yud Kei Vav Kei is above space and above time. And therefore, when it comes to Yud Kei Vav Kei, it's not about comprehending and understanding. So how do you connect to Yud Kei Vav Kei? That's called acceptance. In other words, when it comes to a blessing, so you're drawing down to a lower level, and then you can become unified with it. And that comes from the Shem Elokim. However, when it comes to the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is above the world, the only way to connect to it is what? By acceptance, which you totally nullify yourself. And that's the difference between Torah studying and prayer. Because what is Torah? Torah is comprehension, your understanding. And you literally get it, you understand it. And then you are somebody, I can say, hey, I understand this is what it means. However, when it comes to prayer, there's no comprehension. You're standing like a servant in front of the Hashem. Hey, I totally accept. Two different worlds. Even though you're going to say, one second, when you learn Torah, you also have to do it in the way of acceptance. Hebrew is called bittul. Like it says, tan l'shoyni imrasecha, you have to repeat what Hashem is saying. So obviously that's a very, very high level. That's point number one. Also, that this acceptance brings you to full comprehension. Because by prayer, because you're totally in the level of bittul, you're accepting, so I'm a nobody. I don't exist, whatever Hashem wants. Ka'av de kanimari, like a servant standing in front of his master. However, when it comes to learning, when a person's in the level of bittul, when acceptance, then you become literally the king, which means you have the real power because you're connecting to Hashem. And on the contrary, when you connect with the one that gave the Torah, which is the true existence, so you become the true existence. So what the Rebbe is explaining is that when it comes to Torah, it's all about, I need to comprehend it. Yes, the way I'm going to comprehend it is by through bittul. But ultimately, I still need to exist, I still need to understand it. When it comes to prayer, it's just the opposite. It's whatever Hashem wants, there is no me. And that's why the verse says, Ish Yehudi, in the Megillah. There was Hayah B'Shushan HaBirah, the Jew was in Shushan HaBirah, and his name was Mordechai, Ben Yari, Ben Shimi, Ben Kish, etc. So even though, like we said, the real power of Mordechai is what? Is Torah. But because he also had the bittul, the acceptance, and he acknowledged, and like we said, that he was able to lighten the eyes of the Jewish people through prayer, so he was connected also through prayer. So then he was able to elevate himself even in his wisdom and in his Torah, because he became the owner of Torah. Like it says by Yaver Mordechai, which means he was able to put in real rulings of Hashem. Why? Because he had the quality of Torah, but with the introduction of prayer. And this affected his comprehension of the Torah. Because the fact is, Esther told Mordechai, Zaken should be Yisrael. She called him one of the elders of the Jewish people. And she told him, if we don't have the Jewish people, what's the whole idea of Pesach? The holiday is Pesach. But what do we see? What did Esther call him? Zaken should be Yisrael. What does Zaken mean? Doesn't mean old in age. Zaken we know means Zesha Kana Chachma. You're someone that acquired intellect. So in other words, it penetrated his intellect. How did that happen? It happened because he prayed first. And that's the difference between Torah and prayer. Like the difference between a blessing and acceptance. Because Torah, you're drawing down from high down to low. So you need the physical existence to exist. You need it to penetrate down here. However, prayer is all about elevating from down here to going on high. Like it says, Raza the Karbana, Ra'ila ad Razdein Saif. The powerful sense of the sacrifices goes to the highest level. And as you elevate from this world to the level where it doesn't even exist. Now, this that we also have in prayer, that you bring things down here, like for example, you request for physical things. But that happens after the prayer. But the prayer itself is taking you out of this world. And therefore, when you elevate yourself through prayer, so then what happened, what got elevated as well? His Torah got elevated as well. And this is the connection between these two ideas, Ben Yoyer. Because specifically because he was able to open up their eyes of the Jewish people in prayer, so he actually added in Yoyer, which is referring to intellect as well. And the same thing also the other way. This that he was able to shine light in his prayer, it came down into the Torah. And like it's explained in reference to tshuva, which is repentance, even though we know tshuva is higher than Torah. Torah is one level, tshuva is much higher. Because the fact is, it's able to fulfill the gaps that's missing in Torah and mitzvahs, but nevertheless in the revealed way, that how do we know about tshuva? Through Torah. So it's a catch-22. How do we know about tshuva from the Torah? But tshuva is higher than Torah. And that's why he says, Ish Yehudi. What does Yehudi mean? Acceptance. And in there, both levels. And there's acceptance of, right when you get up in the morning, you're accepting. And then at the end, after prayer, which is, we do it in the Shemoneh Esrei, Moedim, which it's an acceptance which comes like after you learn Torah, which is you're using your intellect. And that's why it says, Ish Yehudi, that he was able to, Ben Yori, he had the level of real acceptance. And that's why the verse says, Kisisa Esroish B'nai Yisrael, you'll elevate the head of the Jewish people. Why? Because when a person prays and you go into level of acceptance, you're elevating the head. What's the head represent? Torah. So through prayer, you can elevate the head. And that's why he says, Kisisa, in Parsha Shkolim, which is connected to Purim, because the fact is, we know the Jewish people then, they were like the bottom of the pot. And how were we able to clean out the bottom of the pot? That was because they gave their coins before Haman's coins, which is the idea of Parshas Shkolim. And this connection of Parshas Kisisa with Purim is every single year, obviously, and especially it was in this year, the year the Rebbe said the Chassidic discourse, that in the cities that had had a wall around, so they read by Yavi Amalek, the parasha where it speaks about Amalek coming to try to cool down the Jewish people, and also in the Haftorah of Shabbat Zachar, we read to remember what Amalek did to us, and over there it speaks about the real quality of what? Kabbalah soil acceptance. Like it says in the prophets, Shamoya Mizevach Toiv, it's better to listen than to bring a sacrifice. And the prophet continues to say, Bagam Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishaker. The everlasting power of the Jewish people is not going to be taken away, and Hashem is not going to change his mind. And therefore, the kingdom he's going to give to someone else, which is basically referring to the kingdom of King David. And my honor is not going to go to someone else until the redemption, the future redemption, which is going to be from Mashiach, which is from the house of David. How did that happen? Because that came from the behavior of Mordechai and Esther, that they behaved in a way to be a Ish Yehudi, to be a Jew, which means acceptance, which means we deny any idolatry and we accept the whole Torah. And in the way of Ish Yehudi, like it says, Ki Ish Gvurosai, which is basically real power. And what kind of power? Power of acceptance. And that's when it says Ish Yehudi was in Shushan HaBira, that even in Shushan HaBira, which is the capital, he had the power of being a Jew, accepting what Hashem wants. He denied idolatry, and he accepted the whole Torah. And through that, you have what it says in Parashat Kisiso, L'chaper al Shasechem, to bring atonement on all the souls, up to the highest level of atonement, like it says in the Geres HaTshuva, which comes through real repentance, and like the Rebbe finishes off so powerfully and so beautifully, and the Jewish people will do tshuva, repent, and right away we are going to be redeemed. So here you have another beautiful, powerful Chassidic discourse on Parshas Kisisa. It goes through the whole idea of blessing and prayer, but really the real power that we have is Hidoya, when we accept. And prayer. And that not only affects our prayer, but it affects our Torah study, and it gives us the opportunity to have all the greatest blessings, like the Rebbe finishes off. When we return to Hashem in a way of acceptance, we will all be redeemed, and let's hope and pray that we have the coming of Mashiach. Our next class will be in Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh. Have a great and blessed week, and happy Purim.